Hello and welcome to the BioEcho podcast. My name is Oskar Nyström.
My name is Helena Wanstedt.
And today we're looking at a company that's changing the way we farm.
Yes.
In a massive way. When you think about farming, Helena, you probably think about fields.
You mean horizontal?
Exactly. You think about horizontal fields. Massive fields.
That takes massive space.
Yeah. Imagine if you could take one of those fields and just stack another one right on top of
it. You mean vertical?
Exactly. And then you just keep going. So you stack a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time.
That must save a lot of space, Oscar.
Yeah, all of a sudden you wouldn't need all of that horizontal space. Actually, you could stack them so many times that you wouldn't even need to go outside of the city core in order to farm. And that's what that's Grönska's vision. They're a Swedish startup company, about 20 employees. This technology, we're going to talk all about it with Nathalie de Bruyn.
They started 2016?
Yeah, the company started in 2016. The technology started to be developed in 2014. Yes. And today they have a pretty big facility in Stockholm. They produce and sell to stores in and around Stockholm in Sweden.
And restaurants?
Exactly. And restaurants can also buy their own vertical farming systems called Grow-Off. That's a one of Grönska's products.
And that's like a smaller vertical farm.
Yeah, as big as a fridge. And it's a vertical farm. It's connected to an app. You can follow and see exactly how the plants are doing and the temperature, everything. It's a very exciting new way to grow food.
Yes.
So are you ready?
Let's call her.
Yeah, let's call her. Okay, Nathalie, we are in Karlstad, me and Helena, and you are where in the world right now?
Well, I am in Stockholm, in the south of Stockholm, currently in my house, because I'm a bit sick, so decided to stay home and work from home today.
But it looks super professional over the Zoom call we're having right now. It looks like you're in a studio.
It actually is a studio. It's my husband. He is a musician, so he has an entire studio set up at home. So that's really perks of being with someone who knows music.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about your company. You're a co-founder of a company called Grönska in Sweden. It's a Swedish tech company that operates one of Europe's largest vertical farms. And we're going to ask all about it, but let's start at the very beginning with an introduction of yourself and a little bit about your background. How did you end up in a project like Grönska?
Sure. Okay, so where to start? Well, my name is Nathalie de Bruyn. I'm one of the co-founders and CFO at Grönska, and I'm very into sustainability. I would say that's like how everything started. I'm an economist, and I was studying, lots of marketing and macroeconomics and different things. And all along, I was not really happy with what I was studying. I wanted to do something else. And then I started taking like all the sustainability courses that I could take at the school I was in. And I found out that you could have a scholarship from my school if you had a passion project. So me and my friend, we teamed up and wanted to write something about urban farming and urban agriculture. This was in 2013, so it wasn't really that big at that moment. Like now it's very big, which makes me very happy.
But then what was around back then?
In Sweden, there wasn't much. There was one company called Plantagon that worked with vertical farming already. And, smaller organizations and like Rosendals Trädgård for sure, like on Djurgården here in Stockholm. But, not really like big vertical farming companies. That wasn't really happening in the Nordics yet. Right. So that's why, we glanced on other markets, and we wanted to go to the US because they already had sort of an industry going with vertical farming companies and a lot of like vibrant urban agriculture, you know, a lot of like rooftop farms in New York and in Brooklyn.
Right.
So we were super impressed by that. We handed in our application for the scholarship, and we didn't get it. We came second. That sucked. We were so sad. But then we decided to write our master's thesis about this topic instead. And we managed to go to New York to investigate urban farms. And that's how it all started. Like this great fascination and also the huge potential in actually growing food more locally.
Right, because New York is the place where my mind goes immediately when I think about this. And I imagine it might be 5-6 years ago, I saw an article about a building in New York where there was a lot of sunlight coming in through huge windows, and they had farms in there, and it seemed interesting, but it seemed like a very small project at that time, something that very local to New York, very cool, and you can absolutely see the need in a city like New York for this kind of farming method. And from there, what was the reaction? What happened when you did this master thesis?
I got very inspired. We visited different types of urban farms, both very small scale and large scale ones. And we visited one big vertical farming company named AeroFarms. It's located in New Jersey. And after that, I was just like, you know, wowed. And I was like, we need this in Sweden. I mean, we don't have the climate for cultivating all year long. So we truly need to do something different. And after seeing that one, I decided upon doing something similar in Stockholm. Then it took 1 or 2 years, but then I met my co-founders, Petter and Robin, they were already doing stuff. They were already developing technology in a basement in Hammarbyhöjden in south of Stockholm here when I met them. And we teamed up, and this was early 2016.
Was the idea in place already? What were they doing at the time?
So it was funny because I spoke with a childhood friend of mine who's a nurse, and I told her like, I'm starting a vertical farming company. I need to do this. And then her boyfriend was listening, and he was like, but hey, I know two guys doing this already. And I was like, what? Because this was like back in 2015, 2016, when this was really niched. It wasn't really a thing in Sweden, not even like, you know, growing food with LED lighting. That was not really even happening then. So I got super excited, and I knew they were developing something. And then when I got to know them and see what they were doing, they were basically developing LED lighting. So gluing, welding on diodes. Working with the electronics of the light and test growing random stuff. They had like a huge plant that was a pepper that was like outgrowing the system, and it was really funny. So they had rented this basement. They were lucky even to get a spot, because people thought they were very creepy when they called around and like, hey, yeah, we want to grow stuff in your basement with like lights. Like me, people met them with like great skepsis. But they had managed to find this company that was willing to rent them the cellar, the basement. So I met them, and I directly saw that they were doing something. It was awesome, and they were really funny and like into the technology of vertical farming. And I figured that I could contribute with other parts, such as selling, writing applications in order to get funds, other parts basically. So we saw that we could complement each other's strengths.
Was this seen as mostly a cool thing back then, or was there already practical interest in farming in this particular way? Because we are talking about instead of having massive fields, I suppose, horizontally, we're talking about vertical farming now. And was it seen as a cool thing? How is it seen today? People in the supply chain saying, could they see a practical use in this at all at the time?
I think for sure there has been a development of how vertical farming is perceived. When we started there in our basement in 2015, 2016, I mean, not many knew what vertical farming was, and it was something very new. When we pitched it to, I don't know, to investors and stores and people in general, I mean, there was some sort of skepsis. Like, people were thinking, like, isn't this a bit artificial? And I remember when we started selling our produce, when we started selling basil to Paradiset, which was, let's say, like a Whole Foods, an organic store.
I know about Paradiset.
Yeah, they closed, unfortunately. But then I really remember people asking, like, oh, but is it really healthy? Like, it's so artificial. There was a lot of questions. And today, I would say that perception has entirely changed. Today is a very established method of producing food, and people that work in the food business or with, I mean, the fruit and vegetable segment, they sort of know about it. But yeah, there was a bit, I can imagine a lot of people thought back then that this was just something new, hip, that was going to come and then not last. But today, I think people have understood that there is a lot of potential in this method, looking at, I mean, several factors around us. I mean, we're becoming more people, we need more food, and we have a lot of challenges connected with, you know, climate change. That's facts today.
Yeah. Can you help us paint a picture? What is vertical farming, and what do we see when we look at it?
Of course. Vertical farming means growing food and using the space, using the height in a room. So you can do it in different ways. What we do is that we use shelf systems, and we have plants on every shelf. And then you have LED lighting above every stack of plants, you can say. So what you will see is like a lot of lights, a bright purple shininess. And under that, you have lots and lots of plants, like an ocean of herbs. And then you have that stacked. So like copy paste, using the height in a room. And there's a lot of tubes, there's a lot of electronics, because it's a high tech way of producing food. And yeah, you also have like this nice, a bit humid scents, and it smells very nice because you are amongst many green living plants.
Sounds like something that should almost be in a museum, and I've seen the pictures as well, and it looks stunning. I'm sure my twins, I have 5-year-old twins, they would probably love to go around in there, and
they probably would. You should bring them. Can come visit. Yeah, for sure.
So how big is your farm that you have locally in your office?
So we have about 1,000 square meters of production. So it's about 250 square meters stacked in 4 levels currently.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty big. It is a big,
it's
a big farm.
Very nice in there.
Yes, it does. It does. We have like an endless supply of herbs and lettuces.
Wow.
I imagine. And what happens with all of these herbs and lettuces?
What happens is that they get packed in a package in the morning, and then they get shipped out to our clients, which consists mostly of supermarkets and different food stores. We have also worked previously a lot with restaurants, and we work with a school. So different places where food is eaten or sold.
And then they have their own like vertical farm.
They definitely can have it if they want, because we have our large scale farm from where we actually then sell the produce, the herbs and the plants. Mm-hmm. But then we also have developed a small scale farm so you can grow yourself. And this is what we call the grow off. So it is, imagine a size of a refrigerator that is actually then a small scale vertical farm. So these can be put in the supermarket or restaurant or schools as well. So it's really fun that we now also provide the technology for those that want to grow themselves.
Yeah, and it is amazing that this produce that reaches the end customer has never actually seen the sun.
That is correct. That is correct. Well, we have given them light. We have given them wind. We have given them love. We have given them water. So they get everything they need. It's just not out in nature. It's more like we have replicated nature indoors, I would say.
And much more efficiently because you've stacked it.
Exactly. And not only efficient because, I mean, space efficient, it's also very efficient in terms of, I mean, water usage, for example. We use just a fraction of the water used if you grow outdoors because it's all closed systems. And the same goes for the nutrients. So it's really a way to, you know, use only the resources you really need for growing.
And is it also more healthy? Because
yes,
if they grow outside, maybe it's bad chemicals in
there. It's been exposed to something.
Been exposed for bad stuff.
I mean, I can't say for everything, but for sure. I mean, if you grow outdoors, it depends on where you are in the world. There are some issues with the land, with the soil, with damaged soils, with different,
pollutions.
Yes, so polluted soils. So that's an issue. And also, if you grow outdoors, I mean, often you use a lot of pesticides, which is completely understandable because there's a lot of pests and animals out there wanting to eat your crops. So when you grow indoors, you grow in a more controlled environment and you don't need all those pesticides, which is, I would say, a way to eat more healthy and not get all those chemicals into your body. So that's what a lot of people are looking for when buying organic.
For people listening now who are thinking, well, I have to choose this, obviously, next time I'm buying my lettuces or what have you. Is there any sort of brand or any sort of stamp on it that shows that it's yours?
Yes, of course. I mean, I think I have said Granska like 0 times up until now. So yes, right. You should look for our brand, our company name, which is Granska, of course. And with that, you will get all the healthiness that we were speaking of.
And at the moment, you can find that in and around Stockholm, I suppose?
Exactly. So we are currently in the Stockholm area with our produce, but our small-scale vertical farms, the Grow-Off, that we ship all over the place. We're talking with clients that are located in other countries than Sweden. And we also have a client, for example, up in Boden, which is really far up north here in Sweden. So we can deliver those anywhere.
Right. And you could theoretically start facilities pretty much everywhere, right?
Yes, exactly. And I would say that's a glimpse into Granska's future, that this is the first time when you can actually scale farming in an entirely new way, because you can copy paste the technology, and the technology itself is very adaptable to different countries and different geographical situations.
Right, you could basically place a room on Antarctica and do the same thing.
Exactly. And also, like, in a desert, it could be, I mean, we've been talking with countries that are basically a lot of desert because they have a scarcity of water. And in this way, you can use smart efficient watering systems, so you don't use that much water when you grow crops.
So I suppose we've just reached the scalability of your company right here, right? Expanding outwards and putting up facilities in different places around the world. Is that the plan?
I would say in the long run, yes. We have a huge potential in the technology of vertical farming, and we are a tech company, so we develop our own technology, and we see that we could place our technology in different countries for sure in the long run. Yes.
Yeah. But right now, that isn't the main focus?
The main focus right now is, I mean, we are established here in Stockholm and we want to expand further here in Sweden first before taking on other countries.
Right.
So that's the first step.
So speaking of not mentioning a brand name, we are talking about the Grow-Off, right? now, right? The vertical farm, it's called the grow-off.
Yes, that's what we call our small-scale farms. And I think it's just, you know, we had an idea a few years ago about, you know, bake-off, where you actually, you sort of buy frozen bread that you heat in the store, and then it's, you know, as if you were a bakery in the store. And this is the same thing, so... Grow off. And we tried to find a better name, but we didn't. So we continue with it.
Right. And you mentioned that the grow off is for restaurants. It could be for stores.
Absolutely.
Are there any further plans for the grow off?
Yeah. So currently we have it in a quite large. I mean, it's a small scale farm, but it's still like a fridge in size. So it produces around 300 plants per month. So we target it to clients that have the possibility of either using that amount of plants or that has an interest in selling that amount of plants. And stores, I mean, they sell much more than that. So that's a natural and like given client. But in the long run, it would be really fun to provide something to end consumers. And then we would do something smaller, you know, so it's a bit easier to handle than 300 plants a month because, well, you could do enormous batches of pesto, but but maybe it would be more reasonable, I don't know, to have something between 50 and 100 plants per month.
At that point, sign me up.
Yes, me too. Awesome. I'll put you on you'll be the first names on a list.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Perfect.
So, what are you up to right now?
So, right now we're doing lots of exciting things. We're both rolling out the latest version of our grow off and really hitting the market with it, which is super fun because it's we've updated it a lot when it comes to the technology, and it has an app connected to it, so it's really user friendly. And then we're also planning our upcoming year, where we want to expand even more here in Sweden. And we're also thinking about organization and recruiting some new key members to the team. And lots of things. And here it's soon Easter as well, which is like a huge weekend with lots of dill and chives. So we're growing that. So, you know, there's like plans for 1 week, 1 month, 1 year. Yeah.
Right. And we have to talk about the app. I'm sorry, listener. We're jumping a little bit right now, but there is an app, and I read somewhere that there's over 50 sensors for monitoring and for automation. So it pretty much manages itself.
It does.
Correct?
It does. So we have developed the grow off has had a longer history than that. I mean, we have done prototypes a few years ago, and we soon understood that if we are going to place a vertical farm at our client's space, for example, let's say on the floor of a store, of a supermarket, then we really need smart ways to monitor it and have a platform so we can monitor it in distance and see that everything works well. So that's when we have an awesome development team that works on it, consisting both of software engineers and mechanical and electronical engineers. We can monitor the grow-off all the time and see how it is doing, the temperature, how the plants are doing. And to this, we have, also connected this app. And the app is mostly to facilitate the usability of it for our clients. So they get all the instructions of what to do. And it's a way for them to communicate with the technology, with the grow-off. And then we can also see it in at our head office and see... Let's say, this basil has got enough of water. Great. But everything happens automatically. So it's automatic, functions for watering. And so it just stays there, the plant, until it's supposed to be harvested. Then the client takes it out.
Wasn't this also done in a museum with just one plant that people could interact with and give it water and give it light?
Okay.
Stuff like that? I think so. And it somehow resulted in some sort of... charity thing where they, I think they donated, and then the plant that they saw in the museum got water, for instance. Wow. Something like that.
It feels like it should have a name as well, that plant or something.
Yeah, exactly. Oscar, maybe.
Exactly, Oscar. Perfect.
So it seems like you're doing very good right now. From the outside, I see that you have a team of about 10, 12 people, something like that. It seems to be very, very diverse in terms of backgrounds and gender as well. Seems like a super healthy company. Is that a correct assumption to make?
Thank you. Well, yeah, I hope so. I mean, that's our goal at least. And I can tell you, we've been so busy, we haven't really updated our website. So we're around 20 people actually. So we should get going on that one. But yeah, I mean, that's our hope. And yeah, we do have a, in terms of gender, an equal board and equal management team, and try to look at all factors within a company. But with that said, it's also, I mean, there's always challenges as well being a startup, and it's all about handling people and relationships at the end of the day. But I hope we're doing a good job. But it's a fun journey. It is. And also it feels like we were one company being, you know, when we were only like three co-founders in a basement doing our thing. And then I remember our first employees, that was kind of hard, like becoming more people. And now it's just so much fun being, I mean, many people and actually having great colleagues and people that are better at doing stuff that I am 100%. And like... Yeah, it's fun being a team working on the journey.
Right.
Wow.
So speaking of the vision, we've touched upon it, but what is your long-term vision? What are you aiming for as a team?
So our vision is that, that food is grown indoors so that nature can grow outdoors. And what we mean by saying that is truly that we think that vertical farming is a way to produce food more efficiently, so we don't have to disturb, you know, nature with monocultures and, you know, taking away forests and taking away what nature is in order to provide food for us. So we see that in the long run, this will be more of a common way to grow food, and a way that is both appreciated sustainably and also economically wise.
So if Grönska has Grönska's way, we see a future where farms aren't necessarily outside of the cities. They could be all of a sudden in the cities, where right next to a school in Stockholm or right next to Wembley Stadium. <let's say. laughs> It could be a massive farm right there, growing vertically. And producing locally.
That's definitely a fair assumption. And I would say that the most important part would be that, I mean, we wouldn't be independent of climate in the same way as we are now for producing food. Because up until now, that has been one of the obviously most important factors.
You could grow oranges in Sweden.
Yes, you could.
You could grow strawberries in the winter.
Yes, you could. We do that every year. We test grow them in order to one day sell them. I mean, we want to sell them for New Year's. That's our dream. Like Swedish strawberries for everyone at New Year's.
Wow.
That is a super cool aspect that hadn't even occurred to me at all.
And I mean, it's just a question of time, of developing the technology further. And I mean... That's what we want to do, develop even further, both the technology and the crops that we grow in the technology.
Mm. So it could look more and more like a forest, like an actual forest with trees in it and with crops everywhere. And it's just growing massively up.
That would be a dream.
Height-wise.
Definitely. Yeah. That would be a dream. And also maybe try different seeds and try different new species of plants that we maybe... are not growing currently because they're too, I don't know, fragile to transport, because that's often the case that we now have developed an assortment of fruits and vegetables that is highly adapted to transportation, because we transport almost everything, especially up here to Sweden, where it's quite cold. We can't really grow anything winter time. It's very limited to growing during our summertime.
Right. Okay, so Natalie, cool. I hope we've asked everything we wanted to ask right now. If we haven't, if you, the listener, want to ask Natalie something, visit gronska.org. That's their website, and you'll find contact information for pretty much everybody working at Gronska. Anything you want to add before we wrap up today's episode?
I don't know, the aspects of transporting food. Now I'm just thinking out loud, but I mean, we do transport so much food and we don't even think about it. And I think that both lacks the connection for us citizens with the food production. I mean, food production happens somewhere far away and we don't really know how it happens. Mm. And it's a lot like that with food in general. The supply chains are very, very long, but also by shortening the supply chains, and I mean growing, producing food more locally, there's also something else that is awakened in us, I think, an awareness and also maybe a greater respect for food, which I think is very important, because today we treat food as commodities that come and go, we throw them, we don't take care of them. And I think that's also scary to see and something we should do something about. I mean, everyone can start by taking care of what they have in their fridge.
Mm. Yeah, and that's why we're so happy to be able to shine a little bit of light on you in the BioEco podcast. And we're absolutely rooting for you.
Yay, thank you.
If you want to, we would love to come visit at some point and maybe film, maybe
please
live stream
do.
Something
yeah.
from,
please do.
From your facilities. And of course, we'll keep an eye on you and we'll keep following your exciting journey.
Sounds great. Please do that.
Exciting, Oscar.
Very. And I do hope that cities and regions all around Sweden, where we live, and all around the world, see the potential in actually showing this and making the buildings glass buildings and high buildings and stuff, so that we can see it.
And I also look forward to growing my own herbs at home.
Yeah, me as well. When they sometime down the line might release a private consumer version of the grow off. And we do read reports about how important it is to have the environment close by, which is less and less now that we live. More and more of us live in city centers. We have parks. We have the occasional tree. But what if we could have this as well around us and even inside of our homes? That would be pretty cool.
Yes. We don't even need the sun, Oscar.
Exactly. We could even have one of these small plants on our desk. We could have one right here, right now. Maybe we will in 2, 3, 4 years.
Yes.
Something like that. Fingers crossed. In the meanwhile, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the BioEco podcast. It's produced by Studio Nyström, by request of Sting
Bioeconomy.
That's correct. My name is Oskar Nyström.
And my name is Helena Wanstedt.
Take care. See you next time.
Bye.